Got a really good crowd for Saturday night. I hope you came looking for a blessing. I'm going to give the introduction, and Stephen, you take care of the blessing, okay? Everybody ready for Stephen? First of all, the church in Pachuca wanted me to make sure I sent their regards and their thank yous. They pray for you daily or every Wednesday night, or Thursday night when I'm meeting. You're brought up, you're thanked for, and you've sent down some prayer requests of different situations, and you know what they are and what they keep letting us know. They feel in touch with you more when they know that they can pray for you and be a part of that ministry. Marco and Kelly not here. Marco's got a lot of studies. He's a very busy young man, and they're there holding down the fort. But they wanted to let you know that they appreciate you, and thank you so much for the part you have in their ministry. I know you've heard through the past that Pachuca's been up and down, and we've had some real encouragement the last 3 weeks. Two of the men that have been faithful have really something got a burr under their saddle. They're really interested in, and they're just so simple. They're scared to death. They asked Marco, can you give us some classes on how to prepare a message and how to preach? So they've been getting together every Friday or Saturday night for 3-4 hours. Amen. And they said, we'll come to your house and we'll. And they've been very faithful, and one of them now has started preaching a little in the streets. So you pray for David and Anselmo. It's been a real encouragement to see them finally take some interest in what God wants them to do in the area of evangelism. Our meetings haven't grown. There's Michael, if he's going to get here with my computer, but we have a few pictures, and if I'll get them up by the latest, and you can see the little church that is put together in Pachuca, just about 10, 12 slides that spin around. You can see what's going on. The women, the missionary women, get together every Monday morning, and they have door-to-door evangelism. There's 5 missionary wives. There's 5 couples that are working together, so the 5 wives go out, and they've went street by street, door by door, and they evangelize. And so they've been faithful to do that. Friday mornings, the ladies get together and have a prayer meeting, and a couple of the ladies from the church show up and have went with them evangelizing. Does Maddie go evangelizing?
Maddie is the only one that goes evangelizing.
Okay. One of the ladies is actually going evangelizing, and it's quite a story. She's crippled up real bad with arthritis, and the walk is painful. Her hands are twisted, and she's not that old. She's 34, 35, but it's really hit her hard. She's got a couple little kids, but she's out there with the ladies as much as she can physically to be there. And so that's a blessing to see someone that puts aside her pain and her problems. Most people just say, Sue hurts too bad. I got an excuse, and she wants to be a part. So that's been a real blessing to see her just the faithfulness of one woman putting aside her personal problems to be involved in what God wants to do. And so things are been a very, very big encouragement. Another thing is the open meetings. Not too long ago, we had a meeting, the missionaries, and there was some rebuke about the women weren't sharing, the kids weren't sharing, and in the open meeting, the men were going too long and taking all the time because nobody else shared. Well, nobody can share if you take too long. And of course, the men that did stand up and share just rebuked the others for not sharing, which meant they didn't bring a message either. And it's much easier to rebuke someone else for not doing what you didn't do. So we had a little meeting, the men, and kind of straightened that out. And for the last 3 months, I guess, nearly everyone, the women, the children, share. They're up. It's a rarity if 75 or 80% of the people there don't get up and share something. Share a verse. This means to me. We're hoping now that these two men will start getting more depth, because if after 10 years all you know is that you're saved, you're missing the boat. It's time to grow and start giving something else, a little more depth. and understanding of the Lord who saved you. And so anyway, that's what's happening in Pachuca. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Just a fair warning, I started a message, and I kind of like the message, but I started working on the introduction, and the introduction has taken over. So I probably won't get to the message, but I would like to dispel some misconceptions that plagued me as a youngster, and on sensationalism, on what's spectacular. And in no way am I trying to demean or menospreciar, help me, diminish Paul's conversion or anyone else that was entrenched in sin and lived a wicked, terrible life, and God in His mercy reached down and touched you and saved you. I wasn't brought up in that kind of way, and I was saved at 5 years old. And as we go through the message, maybe you'll see that it's intimidating. And we have a lot of youngsters and a lot of you teenagers who are raised up in a Christian home, saved at a young age, and I wonder if maybe we miss the opportunity to give the thanks and the glory to the Lord for our glorious salvation. And so, don't take it that I'm diminishing anyone or any type of conversion, but I want to lift up one that I think is actually the will of God for our children. Acts 19, 1 through 5, you all know the story. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if they found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And this is the most sensational conversion that we see in the Bible and probably of all times. God himself just blinded the man and said, Hey! And there's a whole message on that I thought I was going to preach tonight, but maybe I will someday. That's pretty fantastic. It just doesn't stop there in my experience. And we'll get to that. But we as people look for the spectacular. You know, not just Americans, but the whole world. All these fireworks displays on the first in Australia is where the first stroke of the new year hits, and there's a huge fireworks display. Mexico has a day when they have a tremendous amount of fireworks, and it's the 15th of September. 15th of September, depending on those cuartos, you know about them? It's a Dia de Independencia, cierto? The Independence Day, 15th is in the night. They have what they call the grito, the shout. And they fill the plazas, and in San Luis, I've been there twice, and you can't move. You're just literally a sandwich in there. Thousands of people, and they have this fireworks display, and it starts off and bang, 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 and whistle, whistle. You got to carry, you got to have your head covered, or your hair will catch on fire. It happens, and we want spectacular. You know, I think about the replays. You can't watch a game on television without seeing the spectacular play. How many times? Over and over again. No, we're looking for the spectacular, and so we're drawn to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the guy does a great play. Let's watch it again and again. They have the play of the 10 best plays of the week, and they show them for the next week. And they show them hundreds of times on the television. But that's crept into Christianity. That's crept into religion and even into Christianity. You got to have a movie star validate the word you preach. You know, you got Tom Cruise now. He's now the poster boy of science ideology, or whatever it's called. I don't know what it. You know, because he validates it, people run to it. Why? Because he knows more about anything else. No, he just happened to make a movie where he was the top gun, and And they chase after him. I've met two people here in San Antonio, and they were name droppers. And you want to be careful of that. You might drop the name on the wrong person. Anyway, they dropped the name of the church they went to, and I give them this blank stare like, so? Well, that's where David Robinson goes. Sometimes he preaches it. Two different people told me that in two different occasions. Like, that made everything spiritual, made everything godly and right. Because somebody famous, and I don't doubt that he's a good guy, and he might, I like to go hear him preach. Maybe he's a good preacher. But it doesn't validate the Word of God. And as I was growing up as a small child, I didn't have the testimony that Paul had, of course, and many others. They used to pray people in front of us when in this little church where I was, that their sole purpose of coming to visit us was to tell how terrible they'd been. And I guess I'm not really saved because I haven't had that spectacular, that experience. You know, at 5 years old, what do you confess of? you know, big lies, uh-huh. Yeah. But I remember the night I got saved, May the 5th, 1957. I remember the corner of the church and the pew I was and the man who dealt with me. And running up and down the street yelling, I'm saved, I'm saved. 5 years old. You know, and then I hear these guys talk about all the people they killed and all the stuff they're into. And man, who am I, you know? Let's go to the Super Bowl. That was a great play, wasn't it? You saw the play of the game? You know, this Eli Manning takes the hike, and he backs up. And here comes the defense, and they're pulling on him. They're pulling his shirt off. He's stumbling. He's falling. He manages to escape, and they're on him again, and he's falling back, and he lobs it over the line. This big receiver goes up with a guy hanging on one arm and another receiver batting at the ball, and he catches on top of his helmet. You saw it. How many times they show that play? Over and over and over again. You know, and he falls down, and the ball almost touches the ground, which is an incomplete pass. He pulls it over. What a fantastic play, and it showed over and over again. Spectacularism. You're too young for this. How many remember Nicky Cruz? And David Wilkerson, the pastor. The movie was made after their story. You don't even know him? You're too young. The Cross and the Switchblade. They actually came to our church. He was a gang. Nicky Cruz was a vile, wicked gang member. He had killed people. He had done everything that these gang members do in New York. Things that our little town never knew. I was in a little tiny community where, you know, the only thievery was done was me stealing gum probably out of the gas station. And here's this terrible guy, and David Wilkerson was his pastor. And he gave his testimony and how God has saved him from that. And it's so glorious. And yet, who was I? I wasn't saved from anything that I knew of at the time. Saved out of. We had an experience in Pachuca. We're having our meeting in the open park. A man walks by with his wife and he sees our meeting. And he stops and he stands off. And he's watching us in our meeting. And I try to get him to come over and... So in the break time, I went over and started talking to him. And I introduced, you know, and how you do, what do you think of what we're saying? Are you a believer? And he said, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. And like I punched a button on a recorder, out came this long spiel of how terrible he was. And he was a bad dude. Him and his wife both smuggling drugs across the border in their stomach in balloons. And all the things he'd done, he was in prison for murder, all these things, and then how God had saved him. And this is quite a spiel in great detail. So I'm nice, I listened to it. Long story, a little bit shorter, he ends up at dinner Monday at our shop. We're still living in the shop, and he shows up at the shop and has dinner with us. And while it's getting ready and everything, we're talking, and I must have pushed that button again. And I got the same story over again. And I stopped him about halfway through. We had a dinner, we got to talking, and he's asking doctrinal questions, and he's impressed that we're not there trying to build a cathedral to ourselves, and we're going to try to get a church started, leave some men in charge, and move on. He says, well, I want to meet with you guys. I said, you won't want to. You won't last. I said, first of all, you won't accept authority. You're now meeting. You don't meet anywhere. You travel around. And he, in his story is that he travels from church to church, Christian churches, giving his story. And a little bit of that can go a long ways. Anyway, and I says, you don't accept authority because you don't have a home church because you won't. I says, you won't like it here. And you think you like the open meeting because you think everybody can stand up and say whatever they want. Says, somebody's going to stand up and correct you. And you start telling your long story. Again, we're going to stand up and say, brother, we do not glorify sin.
That's right.
And whatever your motive is, it appears like glorifying sin. That's how we dealt with him. He did come and meet with us. And as I expected, somebody stood up and corrected him in open meeting when the third or fourth time that he was glorifying sin. Said, brother, we don't do that here. Please sit down. So many times, and this spectacularism leads to glorifying sin and not to salvation. Back to the Super Bowl. Was that catch any more of a catch because it was spectacular? The first down that it gained, was it any more? If Manny had backed up and just made a nice easy lob with no pressure, the guy caught it with two hands stepping out of bounds for the first down, it was still a catch, it was still a first down. It's the dramatics. And dramatics isn't the point. It was the gain. It was what was there. And these things have helped me overcome my intimidation because the salvation of the soul doesn't matter the dramatics around it. Another thing that you want to realize, that spectacular play, was it a designed play? Was that the design? They got that drawn out, him stumbling and falling, his shirt half tore off? No, it was a broken play. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. It was missed assignments. The offense didn't block right. It wasn't right. It was an overthrown ball. It was a broken pass route. The guy's supposed to fake and leave the defender standing, and yet he's standing flat-footed with two of them around him. It was a busted and chaotic mess. And many times that's how some people end up at 30, 40 years old with so much sin in their lives because there was a whole lot of mess going on around them. It's a whole lot of broken plays going around. People's lives are so messed up. God sent ministers. God has sent the gospel. God has prepared everything, and yet it's not being delivered. There's so many not beings and so many broken plays. Is salvation of a vile, wicked person entrenched in their iniquity more important, or is it more salvation than a small child? Being saved out of wickedness is greater than being saved from it. Don't get me wrong. I didn't live a saintly life, but I don't have a lot of regrets.
Amen.
I was saved very young, raised in a godly home. My dad put me in the middle of a 160-acre field. Yeah, that's a half mile by half mile. And there I lived till I was 18 years old. I never saw marijuana until I was over 30 years old in the police station in San Luis Potosí. And the jefe of the federal police offered me a marijuana cigarette, my first encounter with drugs in my life. My, what a blessing. My, what a blessing to be so protected. And yet I was looking at these ones that were saved out of so much terrible stuff, like I was a second-rate Christian. Oh, it's much better to be saved from it than be saved out of it.
Amen.
I could talk to the children and the young people. Don't be intimidated. Don't think you're less or have less to offer, or you've been treated slightly by the Lord because you don't have this tremendous testimony. And many of you don't. There's a lot of you in this room that were saved as children, raised in godly homes. The percentage in this room is probably higher than most any room you'd find in this city. Of young people, of children that have been raised, have been saved young and raised in godly homes. That was God's plan. You were supposed to be raised in a godly home.
Amen. That's right.
By both of your natural parents.
Amen.
That's the way God planned it.
Amen.
And those that didn't have that, they lost out.
Yep.
You're the winner.
That's right.
What Michael preached last night about it's your birthright is a tremendous truth.
Amen.
Don't throw it out. Don't menospreciar. Menospreciar. Make little of it.
Undervalue it.
You were supposed to accept the Lord at a young age. Not build up enough sins to make it worthwhile for the Lord to save you. It was what's natural. It's what was right. You were supposed to reach adulthood unscarred and whole without so much baggage of the consequences of the sin that are... Some people drag it around on a little wagon. They have so much. I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
It was God's plan that you be raised and nurtured in a godly home, and most of you have that. Most of you that are teenagers, young adults, you had that. Don't throw it out. Don't waste it. You can waste it in the night. Completely spend that blessing.
Yeah.
And one night you can throw it all out.
Yeah.
Destroy your life. Destroy the opportunities that God has given you.
Amen.
You're supposed to be pure when you take your wedding vows.
Amen.
Both of you, man and woman.
Amen.
You're supposed to be usable to the Lord. And unrestricted. You know how many people cannot enter into the part of the ministry or go and do what they want to do because of what the restrictions are on them because of their own sin?
Yeah.
People that have messed up their families and they got, my kids are there this part of the week and then they're with me and they can't go off to the mission field. They got to trade kids back and forth. There's so many examples of people that want to serve the Lord now. They finally repented and got right, and there's just too much baggage.
Yeah.
They can't ever reach, they can't ever go into the place that God is would want them to be. And they have to be content with what they can do. They're restricted, hindered. We got several instances in Mexico. There's maybe some in this room. Things that you've allowed to come into your life, things that you brought into your life by your own sin and the consequences thereof hinder and restrict your service to the Lord. We that were saved young have a glorious blessing.
Amen.
We have a salvation that, in my opinion, succeeds all others. We were saved from these things.
Amen.
Saved from these things that we might give glory and honor to the Lord, that we might be a vessel more usable. It's such a tragedy to see one that's had that opportunity to have that blessing and throw it away. That's a large investment for the Lord. Salvation is free? No, it cost His Son. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ. And He took an investment in a small child and He put His blood to cover his sins and wash them away. Give them a godly home, and they raised up in God's instruction, and they come to the age of no better than anyone else, and just throw it all away. to live a life with no regrets. I pray that some of you children and young people will put that in your, right in your mind. Write it on the door of your bedroom, and every day you go out, no regrets this day. No regrets this day. You young, you third, fourth, fifth graders, I know what it's like. You're down there, and you're, some of you are bilingual, and your friends are trying to teach you a third language, trying to teach you filth. Talk like this to impress people. You got, now they tell me at that age they got drugs pushed at them. They got everything imaginable. You got to start today saying, I'll live this day with no regrets. Amen.